This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to three apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
With guest host Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How much better do you think this team can get on offense, Jalen Hurts?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Hurts dives, and he's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts!
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Still to come, Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Plus, actor Ed O'Neill. And now, it's Susie Schuster.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show underway. Susie Schuster here with Marshall Faulk because, let's face it, if I'm going to be on, it's either going to be you or Shaq, right? It's like one of you two, but you're my go-to right-hand man.
I'm just the gun. Shaq's a big gun.
It's a good 1-2 punch. Yeah, like it's a double barrel, right?
Yeah. Shaq's 7'9".
Just saying that's how I roll. 7'9". If Shaq posts one more picture of himself working out and shirtless, like every time you post those pictures on Instagram, I got to go in there and just needle it. Like, what you looking for, big man? What you looking for?
Yo, Shaq looks great, photo, though, by the way. Shredded. Don't
he's
front.
Shredded.
He looks amazing.
I like to say, didn't look like that when you were playing.
Yeah,
whatever.
I was,
it's like,
say,
I was never fat.
He didn't look like that when he was playing.
Just saying.
Well, everyone should be lucky he didn't look like that. If you were to put this type of Shaq in a 26-year-old Shaq body, like...
He looks good.
No, that would have been a problem. It was already a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, yeah.
He looks good. Not that I'm looking, but I mean,
he looks good.
Well,
you're looking, I think.
I'm not dead, TJ. I mean, I'm 50, but I'm not dead. Speaking of which, Marshall, you look good. You're like in shape. You're like ready to go back. Once this Achilles heals
up.
You
know, I'm on the IR right now. Probably second half, I'm going to put my name out there and see who picked me up.
Are you day-to-day, Marshall?
Right now, I'm out about a month. Yeah,
he's month to month. But
second half of the season.
Once this is healed, say this is before this went down, if somebody had called you up Cole Beasley style, could you get out there and still run and gun?
It depends on who the someone was and – like where we were at in the season. I mean, there's just not a lot of hitting going on out there right now.
It's like
just,
if you're a game away from the Super Bowl, right?
It's just oh my God. I'm trying to think, what game was it? I was in a Buffalo game. He threw the ball to the tight end and the DB, instead of hitting him, he just hugged him. So he didn't get a penalty. I was like, that was like, do you understand that guy was going to the hospital? Like, that's how I was just like, I felt bad for the DB that he had to like catch a 255-pound tight end because the quarterback threw the ball and set him up. But the defender did a great job at pulling up and not making it a violent play. But that's the game.
I remember I asked Marshall one time, Chris, I said, why were you so easily able to avoid the tackles? He said, I don't want to, it hurts to get tackled.
Yeah, getting hit.
It does. It hurts.
As if you have a choice. Like, and I guess you do when you're a Hall of Fame running back.
Like, there's certain running backs that played and they seeked contact. I wasn't one of them.
Well, if you're Derrick Henry and you're built like a freight train, I guess you don't care.
I don't know. I wasn't built like a freight train, but I wasn't seeking out contact.
Stephon Diggs joins us here now on the Mercedes-Benz hotline. Hey, Stephon, how do you feel about contact? That's what we're talking about with Marshall Faulk here.
Contact at the receiver position?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like...
As much as I love it so much, I'm more trying to do it at that time.
Because it's got to feel so good to get just absolutely smacked down and then be at the bottom of that pile. That's got to feel comfortable down there.
Not at all.
Right?
Not at all.
If you love football, I mean, it's something that you got to somewhat, it's a love-hate relationship. You get used to it. You might not like it, but you get used to it.
See, the difference is you get used to it. when you play offense, you're trying to avoid contact. You don't want that smoke. But if you have to, you do. And the only time I want to be at the bottom of the pile is in the end zone for a touchdown. That's it.
I can't even imagine. I can't think about it. It gives me such bad claustrophobia, but that's like for a whole nother session. That's for like a therapy session. That's not for a football show. Stefan, thanks for so much for coming on with us. I want to know, who is him?
Him is me. You know him? I'm just messing, but him is usually a word referred to as a person that considers himself in a high regard, I guess, huh?
Timothy.
And I think, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, I would imagine, right now.
You better.
No, I'm all right. I mean, I keep it humble. I'm a hard-working guy. I keep the chip on my shoulder. I got a lot more work to do.
You got work to do, but last night was just spectacular. The best part about it was you just looked like you were having the best time out there.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I'm more contributed to my team. You see that team that we got? We got some guys that are excited to play next to each other. We like a family. Shout out to Dane Jackson. He got injured. You know, everybody comes out the sideline to check on him. Like, we just got that family tight-knit group. Buffalo is full of, you know, we got the best fans in the world. We got the best quarterback in the world. It's just a lot of guys playing for each other out there. You can kind of see how exciting it is to be on this team right now.
And can you share with us your relationship with Josh Allen and how that's developing?
That's family. Flat out, that's family. That's my guy. I'm trying to get some Christmas cards with us on it. I might send you guys some. he's a hell of a quarterback. Since I met him, we kind of clicked. You know what I'm saying? You don't click with everybody. And that's somebody that I felt like, damn, like, I can grow old with you. You know, I can see myself with you.
Hey, Steph, tell me the mantra. Last season ends the way it did. You have this off season. You guys come into camp, and you guys, I'm talking about, you show up and spoil the ring ceremony for the Rams, and you guys are off to a fast start. What was the mantra? What was the message that Coach McDermott gave to you guys?
Ignore the noise. That was number one. Ignore the noise. A lot of people going to have a lot of expectations of you. How you think of yourself is how much time you going to put in. Like, as a team and even personally, my confidence and our confidence comes from preparation. We was going at it. We was going at it in training camp. We was going at it in, you know, in the offseason. And that was just breeding that confidence and breeding that camaraderie of, like, we're going to compete each and every day, you know, and they're must wins. You know, if we're not winning, we're getting better. And right now we're at that space of we're trying to build something now. The only way you can do that is playing at a high level, being prepared, being ready for anything that's thrown at you, because you got a target on your back. And when you have a target on your back, it's in some way easy to be an underdog because people don't expect it from you. But when you got a target on your back, if you're a good team, you got to show that you're a good team week in and week out.
And we all know that you guys are a good team. There's a change at the play caller. Ken Dorsey, man, I'm real detailed with my football. You guys had a lot of third down answers, a lot of red zone answers for the Rams. You guys had the same thing last night. Answering a lot of questions and putting you guys in positions to win. Speak about what Ken has brought to the offense.
He's a lot like Dave, like one of those offensive minds, offensive brains. He's not trying to reinvent the wheel. He's just trying to make the wheel spin as best as it can, as fast as it can, at a high clip. So getting the ball in your playmaker's hand, letting your quarterback be the quarterback that he is, and as like from a receiver position, you love that from your OC because he'll come to me and tell me, Steph, I like this, I like this. What you think about? And I'll be like, Coach, we can at least look at it. Oh, I'm out here ready to run. I got my legs ready. I brought my cleats. So just giving him that open mind and making him feel comfortable, because as comfortable as I want my quarterback, I want my OC to, like, there is no bad plays. If I call a bad play, make it a good play. You know what I'm saying? That's that space that we're living in now, because we have answers. We have the talent. What are you going to do with it consistently? Can we, you know, we had our first punt this past game. It's like, damn, we didn't punt? I don't even know that kind of stuff. I'm like, damn, we was off the field? So for me, I just was like, man, that is good, but hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have much have more points than we shouldn't be punting at all. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot to ask, but we're just chopping that wood.
Now, when you take a look at what you guys are doing on offense, But you have to pay attention to the defense. What has Von Miller brought in addition to that, to the defense, and what they look like? I mean, man, the way that they got after. Go ahead.
Hey, we look like a whole different team, man. Like, I feel like Vaughn and this is Vaughn, like Big Phil, and you know, guys like that. They bring a certain level of energy and passion, and you know, confidence that gives that defense that you know they had confidence and they were playing extremely well. But it seems like now it's like, damn, like they out there getting after, they out there getting the ball back, they out there getting turnovers. As offense like this, you can have a bad drive, and the next thing you know, a turnover. I'm like, this, damn, we get another shot. In fact. So it's like, why not always have that positive energy? Because those guys over there are ballers, man. They're ballers.
We know that you're partnering with Snickers right now to bring back the Snickers Rookie Mistake of the Year program, where fans can share their rookie mistakes with the brand. To submit a rookie mistake and learn more, fans can head to snickers.com/rookie mistake and follow along on social using hashtag Snickers Rookie Mistake. I got to ask you before we lose you. Tyreek Hill was pointing out your relationship with Josh Allen, went to Twitter on it last night. You're heading down to Florida. What do you see in their offense? Because they look pretty sweet, too.
No, they look explosive. They don't just look sweet. They look like a good football team. Tua's out there slinging that thing around. Getting the ball, Tyreek Hill, you know, those guys are speeches. Those guys take the top off. They making a lot of explosive plays. Watch them on tape for the past 2 weeks. They look real good, and I'm just like, they're doing a great job over there. It's going to be a test for us. It's going to be another challenge for us, a game in the division, in Miami, hostile environment, do everything we can to prepare and get a win. But those guys look great over there, you know. I see that connection over there brewing up early, man. So hopefully they can keep it going and, you know, hopefully not too much against us.
Whose offense is better?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, what do the numbers say? I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to it. I feel like they got a hell of an offense over there. They look explosive. I'm watching them on tape. They got receivers running down the field, catching and getting open, so... I don't know, man.
You say all the right things. Before I let you
good
go,
answer.
That was smart. That was a trick question. I'm a mom. I had to ask a trick question. I had to ask a trick question. Before we let you go, what was your rookie mistake?
I think one time I messed up on the food, and you know, everyone was so upset with me, and I was like, well, y'all cannot eat. That's what my mom used to tell me. You don't like the food I brought? Don't eat.
See? You can't mess. You can't mess, Marshall. You know that.
Can't mess up the food.
Snickers.com. We're going to talk about, again, Snickers Rookie Mistake. For all of you who want to, you can head to snickers.com/rookie mistake. Follow along on social using hashtag Snickers Rookie Mistake. Thank you so much for your time. Rich was so bummed out. And I was like, I'll take him. I'll take that call.
Yeah. Pleasure, man.
Let him know I said hello. I appreciate y'all having me on.
I will pass on that hello. Great to have you on the show, Stefan Diggs. I mean, come on. What about the timing on that one, Marshall?
Perfect.
See what I do for you? I try to book the show correct.
I appreciate you.
I know you do.
I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you right back. You're not even having any, where's your mimosa today?
No, I'm good. I'm healing. I'm in the healing phase. I got to make sure I keep my body clean, you know.
I hear you.
The rookie mistake, though. Oh,
that's
my God.
That's a good
God.
One, right?
That
what was
is
your
a good
rookie
one.
Mistake?
I
love Snickers, so I'm happy to go with rookie mistake. Do you know when I was doing ABC, if I had a good game, and I'm not kidding, I would buy a king size Snickers for the ride home from the East Coast because I had an East Coast game every week. If I had a good game, I would just get those massive ones. That was my idea of a celebration. That and like a gin and tonic.
Yeah, but anyway, runs in the family. I used to. Anytime Rich used to get mad, I used to slide a little Snickers over to him. Anytime he would get upset.
So
like,
that was every time?
Snickers satisfy you.
Like, was that every time? I love those commercials. That is so rich. Don't you think, Chris, that is so rich?
Oh, but he the rookie mistake, this was yeah. good because you literally, you know, living in the Midwest, I get drafted to Indianapolis, and I'm playing there, and Indianapolis had this funny thing in time zones that they just went from Eastern to Central and Central to Eastern. They didn't switch. So, they, you know, you didn't switch time right. zones. And so I had to be at the game 2 hours early. We went from Central to Eastern. And now, you know, like I thought showing up at 11 would get me there for the 1 o'clock game 2 hours before. But really, I walk in the locker room at noon for a 1 o'clock game. And I walk in, I'm like, I'm just like strolling in and I'm watching And all of a sudden, the groups are going out, like ready to go out for warm-up. And I'm walking in, and I'm like, what happened? Oh.
Now, did you try to play it off like I'm cool, or did you actually panic?
Oh, there was no I was cool. It was like, you're late. Like, you're supposed to be at a game 2 hours before. I show up an hour before, all because the time change. Man.
That's messed up.
What was you live and you learn.
Were there any ramifications around that? Did you get?
Oh yeah, you get fined. Yeah, fine. You get fined.
I don't know if you had to sit out the first series or something.
I think I missed the first play. I didn't start the first down or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just literally, I didn't know.
I hear you.
Did not know.
I'm not an on-time person, but when I was traveling with ABC, I was like, I will be the first person there. I was so panicked. To get the angry look from Mike Tirico if you walk in the room late, because he's always like an hour ahead of everybody. Forget it. I wasn't going to do it. NetSuite, 2000, 2008, 2022, when it comes to the economy, these are scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity that they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything that you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs. It makes your business process smooth and easily. You can see where to save money. That's why 93% of customers say that they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Much more on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Marshall Faulk, and he and I are taking over for Rich. Much more when we come back. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He is on a Roku day for his new job at Roku. He's actually spending the day in Napa Valley up with a bunch of Roku people and happy to do so. And you guys know
rough life.
It's a rough life. And I was like, get out, go.
Brockman wanted plus one.
You know me. I'm like, take the day off. This is better than dealing with my family. This is so much better, right, TJ? I mean, any chance I have to have makeup slapped on and not be in carpool line, this is a vacation for me.
I mean, that seems like the way to go for you, right?
So,
sipping on a mimosa, hanging out, talking some trash.
I want to be here hanging exclusively on Roku. This is how I roll. So, I mean, you can take Rich Roku whenever you want. He's all yours. I got it here. I got this. As long as I call Marshall and I have him come in with me. But that's neither here nor there. It's like someone's going to have a security blanket.
It doesn't hurt when you can call in a Hall of Famer gold jacketer to come and sit in. And
carpool line is no joke.
You've been in the carpool line?
Yes, I've picked my nieces and nephews up in carpool line.
Yeah. By the way, it can be those girls will cut you off.
They are like, it's a rough. Yeah. It's like they want their kids. Like you got to go right in.
I pick up Cage every day from school. Like, what are you talking about?
You have carpool line now?
No, you just pull in, you park, you go in and get them.
No. Sue's telling about carpool line.
Let me tell you something. In our carpool line, if you look down in your phone, there's a little bit of space. They're going to honk. They're going to let you know.
Whatever happened to taking the bus?
Progressive, my, you know what, huh?
Whatever happened to taking the bus? Does school now is just everybody takes and drops their kid off? Why?
I don't know.
Let's teach your kids about
Bring
life.
Back the bus.
Survival of the fittest.
On the bus.
Take the bus.
Okay, so you're saying
I took the bus the whole time. Marshall, you can come back in. You're good.
I
never got picked up or dropped off until I got a car, which was my senior year. I always took the bus.
You know what you sound like? You sound like when I was a kid, I walked 10 miles with no shoes in the snow in Maine.
If you're a parent, why do you want to drop? If your kid is over the age of what, like 8? Right. Why do you want to drive your kid to school?
Some people actually like being with their kids, Chris.
Isn't that the point of sending them to school so you get the day to yourself?
It's called the helicopter parent.
By the way.
Those are the ones that like taking the... Yeah, exactly.
I got accused once of being a helicopter parent by a teacher once, and I was like, you don't even know me. By the way, that's like the equivalent of being called a Karen, which, by the way, like, I happen to be looking at YouTube, and somebody said, she seems like a Karen. And I was like, I am not.
You don't know
Karen.
The half of it.
I'm like,
You're the reason Rich threw you under the bus for his Uber rating being crappy.
His Uber rating is crappy, not because of me. And if I'm going to get into an Uber and someone's going to stink, by the way, I've been such a good girl. I'm like, hi, your car's wonderful. It's so clean. What a nice car. Thank you. And by the way, Mike's known me for 25 years.
Yep.
Mike, I think of myself as a nice person, and I tend to be, actually, I'm a Leo. Like, I tend to have a big on the outside, but get hurt on the inside. You know, it's very Aesop's fable. Like, you know, Leo style.
I'm a Leo. TJ Leo.
Stop smirking over there, Chris Brock. I'm just smirking. I honestly think, if you ask anybody who's worked with me.
Oh, you are a pleasure to work with. And
thank
I can
you
tell
very
you the people
much.
That, that are not pleasures to work with.
Yes. And, the list is long from Mike Del Tufo.
Exactly. Yeah. We could come up with a lot of the same names.
But to say that I'm a Karen, that's offensive, and I don't like it.
It hurt, didn't it?
Oh, it hurts. A Karen, how dare you? I'm going to call the manager. I mean, like, that's not back up.
Susie, this is why you need to be on Twitter. TJ's right.
I'm not a Karen, but I will call the manager.
That's right. Hi, can I speak to the manager,
call and complain.
Please?
This is exactly
that's
why you
that's like that's like that's like a four letter word now. I mean, it may have five letters, but a Karen's a don't call me a Karen.
And poor old regular women named Karen who just had to
can't
like,
be called Karen anymore.
Nobody names Karen anymore.
Well, that's like the proverbial light box. You know, now Karen's become the light box. Now you have to change your name and spell it differently because, you know, now everyone, they throw out Karen like they throw out light box, right?
I don't know. What is light box?
The term, the football jargon.
If your name is Karen, can you drop your kid off at school?
No.
No. Karen, your kid takes the bus.
What if you called to make a reservation in a restaurant? Hi, my name is Karen.
No, you change it.
Do you change it?
Kitty or like.
Starbucks?
Yeah, just change your name.
Hi, I'd like a non-fat, half cap, one pump, but not more than one pump with oat milk. And my name is Sarah?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not asking for it?
Jenny?
Any
something super generic.
From the block? Yes.
Just gave me a good idea.
What's the good idea?
From now on, when I go to Starbucks, I'm going to say, Karen.
Mike, you're a man.
Who cares?
By the way, you know what I realized? The most Karen thing I've ever done. The most Karen thing I've ever done is to say I'm not a Karen, right? And oh, by the way, when I looked at the YouTube ratings and they said one person said she seems like a Karen. That's all I remember. Nothing else. TJ, come on. TJ, you're quiet back there. Your mom's watching. Seriously. You're not backing me up.
Seriously, ignore the noise.
Ignore it.
Ignore the noise.
Right?
It's tough sometimes.
Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments.
Yeah,
no way.
That's far easier said than done.
I'm not going to read the comments.
Far easier said than done.
Right? You never cared what anybody said.
No.
If they had social media in your day, Marshall, what would that have been like?
Oh, fun. It'd have been fun.
Would you have been active, you think?
Probably so. Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say about Marshall, though? Like, hey, Marshall, you know, you ran for 130 and you caught six balls for 99. Why didn't you get that 100-yard receiving? Like, what you going to say?
I would have got
Marshall
a bonus
ball
if you had gotten 100 receiving yards.
You guys have to understand. Exactly. Listen, right. I played with arguably the nicest guy in the world in Kurt Warner. So it didn't matter what I did. If I signed autographs for an hour, Kurt would sign it for two. It's like, I'm a lose. This dude is awesome. You know, like, I get mad, I cuss. He get mad, gosh darn it. You know, like, it's just like, I am going to lose. There's no win-win here.
Would Isaac Bruce have read the comments on YouTube?
Yeah, he would have been like, God bless you.
That's right.
I play with two of the nicest, like, Isaac and Kurt. I've never seen them drink. I never heard them cuss. It's just like, and maybe they do, you know, but I never heard it. Like, Ike would get upset and, you know, he'd get a little, but Kurt, it was just hard to, get him, for him to be mad at someone else other than himself. He rarely got mad at someone else. It was just like, it's unbelievable, man.
Who was the meanest guy you played with?
The meanest guy that I played
just
with.
Just a cur.
And I don't want to say like mean as in like bad, but mean as in just like, I think it was just, it was, if you didn't know New Yorkers, you didn't know how to take him. The late Tony Siragusa.
Oh, yeah.
Like Goose was the, like, yeah. So Goose was our hazer. So when you came in as a rookie, Goose was the person that made you sing. He put Icy Hot in your jog. Like, he was the guy. He was the guy who made sure you got your welcome to the NFL moment.
That doesn't seem mean, though. That seems like a brotherhood type.
Oh, it was mean.
No, it wasn't.
Well, trust me. If you had to sing at breakfast every day, you know, doing training camp when it was like a month long back in the day, it gets tiring. And you got to remember, you go from being the man on your team to just the guy now on a team.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah,
it's
Hayden tough. Hutchinson knows that firsthand. What was your song?
Well, we sung. They made us do fight songs, so we had to sing our fight song, and it was bad if you didn't know your fight song. Man, it was bad.
Marshall, speaking of fight, you know, we saw the Saints and the Bucks the other day, and you know, we know that Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore have this history of, like, it's on sight every time they see him. Was there a defensive player who, like, every time you got on the field with him, you just wanted to run up his chest and down his back a little more than somebody else?
I only had two guys that I ever, like, really got into it with on the football field, and one was and it was both because I lived in San Diego and they played in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And every time we played each other, Junior Seau and I would have this, it was like this, like, who, you know, he's from San Diego, played at USC, went to San Diego, played for the Chargers. I played at San Diego State, lived in. So we were like two big personalities in San Diego. So every time we would play against each other, you know, I felt like, because I played college ball in the stadium, it was my stadium. And he played pro ball, it was his stadium. And then he brought along his little protege over the time, Rodney Harrison, who just never shut up, never would shut up. And Rodney would talk the whole game. Oh my God!
What was he saying? Just anything.
And it wasn't Rodney. So if you didn't know Rodney, did everything that he did. It was for him. It was how he got up. So Rodney would tackle you and then throw your legs. You know, or like he tackle you and give you the extra elbow. He always did the extra, and that was just you know, after us talking, he was just like, man, I had to fight so hard to get where I was. I had to do the extra stuff. And you start to understand what it was with people. But those two guys were the only two people that I ever really, like, extensively talked to throughout games that I would have words with.
Yeah.
And Junior and I, like, year over, I go to Seau's, we'd sit down, we're having beers, having a good time.
Yeah. that is so weird to me, isn't it? How you can just kind of, like, compartmentalize.
Yeah,
and just...
it was all in the spirit of competition. That's why I don't understand how this thing with these two guys has gone on this far, this long.
Yeah,
someone has to step in and sit them two down and explain to them how stupid this is and how bad it looks for. Hey, both of you guys are somebody's father. What are you teaching your kids?
Yeah,
what are you teaching the young kids that idolize you?
And plus, it's cost him a game.
Yeah, Evans got suspended because of it.
You know, and that's a huge game coming up. I mean, Tampa.
It's a game.
That's
a game check.
Monster game.
It's not just a game. Game check. All of it. Yeah. It makes no sense. You know, and it's you. Hey guys. I don't know if you guys figured out. I don't care what neighborhood you're from. I don't care how you grew up and how tough you were. You already proved that you're tough. You made it to the NFL. You don't have to be tough. Like, you don't have to be gangster anymore.
Right.
I don't get it.
You're not playing hockey.
Right. You're not, you don't live in the hood anymore. Yeah. Like, it's the suburbs. Hey, the dads in the suburbs, they ain't banging. Like, it ain't like that. Like, you're safe. You made it.
Well, talking about the Bucks, let's talk about Cole Beasley, obviously coming in now in good shape, ready to go in. He said that, it's amazing if you think about him. He's still a great player. He was just sitting around waiting for the right roster, right, to join onto. And obviously when Tom Brady calls, he'd pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I would imagine. don't know firsthand, but I would imagine I would pick up the phone if I saw TB12 calling. And so he's coming in to join. He needed the help there. Julian Edelman was sitting in your seat a couple weeks ago. Are we going to see him, you think, suddenly show up towards the end of the season and
If I was Edelman, I'd start working out now. I'm looking at the injuries to the wide receivers that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have. And this is if he really wants to play. You know, it's like if he really wants to play. And the question is if Tom says and calls, hey, this is my last year, man, come play with me. If you're Edelman, are you like, okay? Or are you like, are you sure, Tom?
Yeah. You really lied last year? Really?
You lied to us.
Really?
Stop lying.
Like we gave you this whole little farewell thing last year, and what do you do? I mean, I would start. Listen, Edelman loves Tom Brady, and I know Tom loves him. He had some of the best years of his life playing with Tom. I think the relationship, you know, it's like Tom helped him by throwing him a lot of balls. Nah, I think Edelman helped Tom as well by being a former quarterback who knew when to be, where to be, and made himself available for Tom. And that relationship is something that Tom would welcome if he's in the proper shape and he can go out there and really help the team.
It's him and Gronk, right? I mean, everyone just kind of assumes.
Nah, that... see, I think Gronk fell for it last year. He said, nah, Tom, you ain't getting me again.
Ain't falling for okie doke.
You're not doing it. I'm not falling for the pump fake. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
He came back and got a Super Bowl out of it, though.
I know. But last year was rough.
Last year was
rough. Gronk got banged. Hey.
Well, it was early on. I mean, what was it, week 3 or 4 against the Rams? He had broken ribs and kind of was never the same.
Yes. Gronk, last year was rough on Gronk. It's a rough year for him.
Plus, Gronk looks like he's about a 220 right now, so he got
to... Gronk looks pretty thin.
Gronk's going in the same vein as Ed O'Neill. He wants a season or a couple seasons. He wants he's got some nice hardware. He's got good rings. Then he wants to go be an actor. Don't you think he wants to keep that face pretty? Come on, Chris. You know
to prove.
It.
I mean, Gronk's the greatest tight end ever. He has nothing to prove.
Nothing.
His Hall of Fame speech, I can't wait for, because it could be anything. Like, he could be up there and be like, thank you, and walk off, or it could
and
be
it's the greatest speech
a
ever.
20-minute stand-up routine. Like, I'm excited for it.
It's definitely not just going to be thank you.
Are you saying that because you like the Patriots, that he's the greatest tight end ever? Or you're like, serious?
He's serious.
I'm serious.
I always thought it was Tony Gonzalez.
Another guy that played at Kansas City.
Better pass. Okay. Who's a better tight end pass catcher and run blocker?
Okay.
He did both.
What do you think, Marshall?
I just asked the question.
But what do you think? Who do you think is the best tight end ever?
I don't really have a dog in the fight.
You're the only one here really.
We're in the room.
I think it's
yeah. Also, right. I mean, look, the winning too. I think that matters. Four rings.
I hear you. I don't.
Yeah, I'm just.
It always baffles me, and I think Gronk is. I think he was awesome. Listen, Tom Brady made a lot of people really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we have no idea.
They helped him be good too.
We have no idea. Now, Tom was good with Ben Wintercoats. It didn't matter who Tom played with at tight end. Wiggins. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And when Gronk got there, Gronk was the two tight end. The one tight end was the other guy who was much better than him.
I actually thought he was better than Gronk.
He was. Yeah. So that was, yeah. And you know, Gronk kind of became the animal that he was with a lot of the stuff. And I think how the game happened. You know, I'm not going to take much away from Tony Gonzalez, man. Yeah. I don't think he played with the Hall of Fame quarterback. He didn't play with the Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not going to find one. And I look at Gonzo and what he did and how consistently he did it for so many years. You know, and I don't think one of the quarterbacks that he played with we're going to look at and be like top 10. I don't know if we'll call him top 10.
Yeah, probably not. Matt Ryan might have the numbers, but no one's going to think he's a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's there's just something about and I'm talking pass catch and run blocking. You know,
the thing about Gronk, too, is like he was kind of the one guy. You knew the ball was going to him. And he still got it.
Always. We're biased, but still.
I beg to differ.
Really?
Like Wes Welker caught 100 balls. Yeah. Edelman caught 100 balls. Randy Moss was there. Like, there was always...
Randy Moss and Gronk never played together. But when the game was on the line, he was going to Gronk in the end zone, and more often than not, he got it.
I did feel like it was a little bit like a horror movie where you're like, you kind of know, don't open the door. Like, it's going to go to Gronk. Yeah. It's that same idea, don't you think?
Yes. I thought Gronk was going to get it.
What's the most catches he ever had in a year?
He's a tight end. He's not supposed to catch 120 balls.
I played running back. I caught 80. What are you talking about?
No, I love Marshall.
I will tell you this.
You were different, though, bro.
Most Gronk ever caught in a year. He caught 82 in 2014.
And Kellen Winslow's good.
I do think your point about Edelman being a quarterback, that was so helpful, because what I loved more than anything was the trick plays. When suddenly it's Edelman and he's got the ball and he's flinging it.
He played the game so smart. Like, I understood part of, you know, I played quarterback in high school. I understood defenses. And watching him play the game, it was just like, it was fun. He and Tom, kind of the same way I was with Peyton and with Kurt. Like, they knew I understood what they understood about what was going on and making yourself available. It's fun. It's fun when you have that. A lot of receivers that made the transition. Hines Ward was the same way. That's why he was the guy that goes in on third down. Mm-hmm. He played quarterback. He understood the little nuances about playing the position and where to be and what to do. It was just like, it's almost like having another quarterback there.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Chris Brockman's burning questions. That's going to be up next, as well as Ed O'Neill coming up at the top of the next hour, and a lot more football talk ahead. Susie Schuster, Marshall Faulk, don't go anywhere. Susie Schuster, Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich taking a rare in-season day off. And Marshall, you just said something crazy. You had more receptions than half of the receivers when you were in the hall, like for your entrance to the Hall of Fame. Tell me this again.
No.
What'd you say?
No, we were having a conversation and I was explaining how the game has changed.
Right.
And back in the day, if your quarterback threw the football 20 to 25 times, you were losing.
Okay.
And in today's NFL, if your quarterback don't throw the ball 20 to 25 times, you're losing. And so the criteria to getting into the Hall of Fame with catches and stuff for receivers, it's kind of like skewed because the numbers are funny. And I was like, case in point is, I have more receptions than half of the receivers in the Hall of Fame because of how much the game changed from running backs carrying the ball to running backs catching the ball, and it all became touches. And not just carries and runs.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Yes.
Marshall has the 12th most receptions of any player in the Hall of Fame.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is
that right?
Rice, Gonzalez, Harrison, not Carter, Brown, right. T.O., Moss, Andre Reed, Art Monk, Steve Largent, Shannon Sharp, and then
I've seen better.
Not bad.
So
that is amazing.
What's your reception record, Chris Brockman?
You know, I played quarterback in high school. But my freshman year, I was also I played tight end also. So during a preseason game, I had one pass route. It was going to me, and it was picked off and returned for a touchdown.
So you're negative one.
Not happening. You know what I would say to that?
I played quarterback after.
I would say the same thing I say to Cooper every time. You got to catch that, son. Bobby Bowden, every practice, anytime somebody dropped a ball, you got to catch that, son. And that is my favorite thing to say.
More like the A block. Didn't go the way he thought it was.
Nope. Yeah. You got to catch that, son. Chris Brockman, burning questions, please. Let's throw it over to you, Your Royal Highness.
Let's go.
Brockman's really burning questions.
Now that's a fire. That's a fire.
Look, I have a Flamingos on my shirt. It's all good. All right, burning questions. I'm looking at three matchups this weekend, guys, and I'm asking a burning question for each team moving forward, okay? So the first up, I'm looking at Thursday Night Football. Kind of a sneaky good division game, Steelers at Browns. All right, my question for both of these teams are, let's start with Pittsburgh first. If Trubisky struggles early, does Tomlin make the move to Kenny Pickett, Marshall Faulk?
I say no, only because it's a Thursday night game. There's no way to get two quarterbacks ready for Thursday.
Do you think that if Pickett hadn't been at Pitt and everybody hadn't seen him there locally and hadn't seen him out there slinging, they'd be so excited to get him into the seat?
Well, you got to remember, he started to fall. teams with like, oh, his hand too small. He's not. And I don't know if he would have gotten drafted if Pittsburgh didn't take him. Yeah, if Pittsburgh didn't take him. And it was an opportunity for Pittsburgh. Now, let's say this. For all the organizations out there in the NFL, all 32, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they always handle these moves better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, they get it right when they go to the whatever guy it is. And that guy, it for whatever reason, it worked out for them. And I'm going to believe that nothing will change here. Now, I do have a solution. Maybe both teams might say, hey, let's play our number two guy and have it be a fair fight. I don't know.
And for the Browns, how do they bounce back after kind of giving that game away? Something we'd really never seen before, 13 points in the last 2 minutes. How do the Browns bounce back? Because they looked like a 2-0 team and a very good team, despite what they have going on at quarterback.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But we want to see if they have the resiliency. And actually, I shouldn't even say that. For that team to go through what they did in the offseason, make the decisions that they made, deal with all the stuff that they dealt with, and to come out and play the way that they have, I am actually impressed. I'm not going to lie. That noise usually permeates into the locker room, and it's hard to shut it out because it's not talking about actual play on the field,
right,
and it becomes a distraction. And they've done a great job.
You got to shut that noise out, Chris.
Yeah, got to shut out the noise always. That's good advice. All right, next up, an NFC North battle going on this weekend. Detroit at Minnesota, Lions-Vikings. A couple of questions here. Let's start with the Lions first. How good has this Jared Goff-St. Brown connection been, and are they for real? You believe in the Lions, Marshall?
I think St. Brown is the real deal. You know, Jared, I cannot count on him just yet. But what I do like is Detroit, and they look like their head coach. Like
he's crazy.
They embody this man and how he goes about coaching the game and his love and passion for the game. This is going to be a pretty good game. I mean, Minnesota, after what happened, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back.
Yeah, so that's my question for them. Who is this Minnesota team? Is it the one we saw who dominated the Tackling Packers high. In week one? Or
good
is
question.
It last night laying an egg on the road in a primetime game?
Yeah, good question. And this is, this is Kirk Cousins. And this is literally what he's done for us his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, whenever the expectations get beyond the limitations, he brings us right back down. No, don't expect too much. But literally, that is what I've seen from him. And now the question is, I'm more concerned about. I want to see Detroit. You know, is it? You know, hey, you have a bad game, take two lines and call me in the morning. You know, it's like, are they still that team?
Yeah.
Minnesota had a bad game. Oh, who do you have coming in? You know, it's like, oh, you got Detroit, right. You'll be good. Or you got the Bears, you'll be good. Is that the same?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Detroit's pretty good. Would you have liked to have played for a guy like Dan Campbell? You didn't in your career. You know, Dick Vermeil
no.
and Jim Moore.
Moore was kind of, I'm going to say Jim Moore had a little bit of that in him. But here's what it is. You know he has his players back. That's the thing. Like, that's all you want from your head coach is to know he has your best interest. And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes it's all about the organization or it's about job security for the coach. It's not about you as a player concerned about your career, your well-being.
Yeah, seems like he's like that. All right, last game, 2-0-2 teams, Raiders at Titans. One of these teams is going to be 0-3, and pretty much their chances of making the playoffs are nil. Both these teams made the playoffs for last year. What are you looking for in this game? And whoever is 0-3, can they still make a playoff run?
I just wonder who called Bill first for advice.
That's funny.
Hey Bill, I'm 0-2. How do I not go 0-3? Who?
I gotta think it's McDaniel.
Did he give him the best?
No doubt,
did he give
right?
him the same advice?
That's really funny. I think McDaniels called him first, right?
That's a good question, man. But
Vrabel doesn't strike. Vrabel strikes me as too proud to ask Bill for advice.
Here's the thing. I think Tennessee has somewhere to go. they have somewhere to go. They made a decision, and they brought Malik in, and they have somewhere to go. The Raiders, they're trying to figure out who they are. And they want to know, is Derek Carr him?
Yeah.
Timothy.
What do you think?
I think Carr is him. I think he is him, but the relationship with his buddy, I think it's taken away from just playing football.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, it's like they could play good and then they'll give up big plays.
I think it's McDaniel. Didn't Rich take the Raiders to win?
He had the Raiders to basically go so far, win division, win a playoff game.
Wow, it's tough.
It was all about Raider Nation.
We're going to have to track down that. Yeah, may have been a little bit of a mistake. Yeah, Much more Rich Eisen show when we come back after this. And not about the Raiders. I got to tell you something.
Oh, go ahead.
Say it.
I was going to say, I'm with you on Derek Carr. I like him a lot. I think he's a really good leader. I think he has his teammates back, and I think they have his back. Defensively, though, I think they got to figure out what's going on there. What do you got, Suze?
Yep.
I just don't know why Rich took them.
Well,
he was really into the Devontae Adams thing, and which is what people. Well, for me,
it's not Devontae. What I think is, like, I believe Josh McDaniels is one of the bright minds in the NFL, and what happened in Denver happened without a quarterback. And now you have this guy who wants to prove that he's, top five quarterback in the league, like that he can win an MVP in Carr. And I think Josh needs some restraints. Like, I just think Bill don't let him call what he wants to call.
Right, right.
Compared to when he's his own guy, he can call what he wants to call.
Right.
And there's a part of managing the game. I hope he learns. He get to learn how to do it and just not take risk and do a lot of the things that he wouldn't do if he was coaching under Bill.
Devontae Adams can't have two targets in a game.
Right.
You know.
It's not easy to learn restraint, though. That is a hard skill.
Yeah.
Self-restraint is a hard thing to learn. Much more Rich Eisen show when we come back.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.